是这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这个这
您
说你在北京在那个在而且说可能是还是那些摩托你在北京在你也跟一样的好 Now of course this is a continuation of what we did、last week and it is clinching the second chapterI can't believe it. You know, I saw your husband this afternoon. He didn't tell you, did he?
No.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't see you.
He may, as a day, can know such labor's law, needs so Mr. Baker. Now, of course.This is a continuation of what we did、last week, and it is clinching the second chapter. I can't believe it. You know, I saw your husband this afternoon. He didn't tell you, did he?
No.
No.
I probably didn't see you.
And I had half a mind.To say to him, just tell Hannah not to come to the shir. I thought, no, it's unnecessary. I don't like saying unnecessary things. It's unnecessary. Anyway, Michael. 2 days, that's the record. That's your 3 days. Well, Mazatov, Hannah, very pleased to see you. Lots of pleasure from the little girl and from the other two. Well, yes, now.He says there is a natural, something natural about the human being attaching itself to Hashem. And that is, there's something natural about it.And that is, since there is a hizdamus between Hashem and man, which means to say that there is, it goes back to the imitatio Dei, to walk in God's ways. Since there is that possibility, since man was created in the image of God, and there is that possibility of man,attaching himself in however weak a way to God, that is one thing. But through his acquiring perfection, and don't remember what our definition of acquiring perfection was, that he was exercising his maximum potential to acquire perfection. Man can never reach perfection, but he exercises his maximum potential toacquire perfection. When he's doing that, he discovers that his attachment to God is on the increase all the time, until eventually his acquisition, his act of acquiring perfection and his attachment to Hashem become one and the same thing.In other words, that they merge. First of all, it is commensurate, his attachment, his striving for perfection is commensurate with the amount of attachment that there is. Eventually they merge, and they become the same thing. That is, the striving and the attachment become the same thing. A little bit clearer as we go on. Give me a sec. Now he says, here he is giving us a new idea. Since God's perfection is intrinsic to him, then when we speak about our affection, it is only in the sense that it is associated with him. And our perfection can only be associated with Hashem. Now he gives the example. Without the example, one cannot understand it. Ke'onof el ha-shorish. If you take a tree has got its roots, and then it's got its trunk, and then it's got its boughs, and from every bough there are branches, and from every branches there are twigs, and on the twigs there are leaves. So from the twig, from the leaf to the root is a far cry. Nevertheless, he says, Mashi Ushleimus Enemis Yachas Elelo. Any perfection is associated only with him. So any perfection that we have is associated with Hashem. Ke'onof el ha-shoresh, as the leaf is to the root. The leaf never reaches down to the root, doesn't touch the root, doesn't come anywhere near to the root. Nevertheless, it is a continuation and it is a result of the root. Now that is a beautiful example, and it is an example which explains exactly what he wants to say. And just to get it clearer again, that any perfection that we achieve, if it is a correct perfection, if there's any perfection that we achieve, it is associated with God, with God's perfection. How can it be associated with God's perfection? Is it the same as the tree has a root, it has roots, and it has leaves. And look what the distance is. From the roots, there's the trunk. The trunk is the boughs, the branches are twigs, and on the twigs, there are the leaves. Yet the leaves are associated to the root. Can't exist without the root. What it has comes from the root. And look at the distance from the root. But what it comes is from the root. So it is with our perfection. Our perfection comes from Hashem. Whatever perfection we achieve, if it is perfection, it is associated with God's perfection. I'm using the word associated, because attached is just a little bit too strong. Is that clear? It gives a very good example. Now, that is one of the yesodos. That is one of the fundamentals, one of the fundamental principles that Reb Meisher Chaim Lutzacher gives us. And that is how we come close to God. And that is how there is the attachment to God. For whatever perfection we have, in its essence, comes from God's self. It's associated with God's perfection. And I always marvel at his being able to make this so clear. It's such a difficult concept, and he's able to make it so clear. And you will see that true perfection is Hashem. And any deficiency is only a result of the absence of his goodness and of his hiding his face, which I gave to you last week and in a moment. But in Soshe Orasponavis, and it works out that illumination and don't forget argument in his etymological sense, the name Soshe Hel Orasponavis Borashemar Bikirvosel, and we'll find that the illumination of God and the enlightenment, his illumination, which is nearness, root and the core of human pedagogy. The Hespono, and he's hiding his face, is the Sheurish Rasibo, is the cause of the Chorchi Soren, of Christian deficiency, Keshira Hesped, Kati Yeshira Hesoren, Anim Shepo. According to the degree of God's concealment, state of the deficiency arises from. I spent quite a lot of time last week explaining to you what is meant by enlightenment and deficiency. Now, I just want to give you the source of this in the Torah. Hashem says, the introductory part in English, he set before you this day, and death and evil. Remember that verse, that is the free determination of will. You've got life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this evening, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk his commandments, his statutes and his ordinances, then thou shalt live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest in to possess. But if thy heart turn away and will not hear, but shall drawn away and worship other gods to them, I declare you this unto you, that you shall surely perish. You shall not go to the land whither thou passest over the Jordan to go in to possess. Sorry, it's not quite that I wanted. I must be able to lay my hands on this. Yes, it goes on. He says, and Hashem said to Moses, behold, thou art about to sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go astray after the foreign gods of the land, whither I lead them, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. Now I'm going to read to you the Hebrew, and then I'll translate it. I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And then again, I will hide my face from them, and I will, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall come upon them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils upon us, because our God is not among us? And then he goes on, and I will surely hide my face in that day, for all the evil which they have wrought, in that they have turned unto other gods. And that is the Asporus, Pastorus Bonim, that is God's concealment. He, so to say, conceals himself. And I gave you the example where a father is having a lot of trouble from his son. He has a very hard time. He decides him to send him to Alaska, giving him so many chances. Sends him to Alaska, gives him $2,000, and says, now you are on business on your own. I've got nothing more to do with you. And he sends him off to Alaska, and then he phones his friend in Anchorage, and he says, now, my son is going to arrive, he's coming by this and this boat, by this and this plane. He's got $2,000 in his pocket, it can't last him very long. Just watch over him. If he needs help, help him. But let him never know that I told you about it. Now, not the same as a father helping him, but the father knows what is happening. He's hiding himself from him. And that is the way Hashem hides himself from us. Now, you must just understand that Hashem's hiding himself from us is not a punishment, but that's a natural course of things. That is the cause and effect. If we do wrong, then our attachment to Hashem becomes less and less. It is just a cause and an effect. And if that is less and less, then these things just follow in its wake. Now, and therefore, next paragraph. Okay. Now, from here until the end of the chapter, which is only another page, and I hope you go through it quite quickly, he's preparing us for the next chapter. Don't forget that this chapter was the purpose of creation, and the next chapter is man. What is man? So he's already the human being. So he's already preparing us for the next chapter. Volcano, therefore, this man who stands equally between perfection and deficiency, which are the results of enlightenment or illumination from God and concealment, when he strengthens himself towards perfection, and he acquires that perfection in himself. Of course, we are speaking about degrees of perfection. He is through his exercising his ultimate his greatest efforts to achieve the realization of his potential. He then begins to grasp Hashem, Shehu Ashurish Vamokar Lohem, who is the root and the source, Uchapi Masha Yarbe Vashlem Yus, and as he increases in his perfection, Kahu Marbe Wachizu Yizabkuzbo, so it increases his grasp of Hashem, and his attachment to Hashem also increase. And it is commensurate. Ad Shebahagil El Tachri Sinyan Ashlemus, until when he actually reaches the acquisition of perfection, he achieves the maximum of his grasp and his attachment to God. The nimtzum is dabeit bo yisborach shemo. Then he is attached to Hashem, the nehene v'tuvo. And he enjoys Hashem's goodness. Umishtaleim bo. And he perfects himself. And don't forget that very important principle. He is the owner of his own perfection. It wasn't given to him. He struggled for it. He has worked for it. He acquired it. And now it is his own. Whatever he's got is his own. And that is a condition for perfection. Because if it's not your own, it's given to you, it can never be perfection. And that is something that he's explained very well hitherto. So, now, we've got an idea of it. Just, I want to give you an example, and it's the example I've given you before. The gentleman in Los Angeles, where I was invited for breakfast one day, and his wife was just too wonderful. She put on a lovely breakfast, and he's reading the newspaper avidly, and he's eating at the same time. Not speaking to me, he's reading the newspaper, he's engrossed in the newspaper. He's speaking to his wife. Anyway, we are already at coffee, and he puts his newspaper away, and he says to his wife, "What's happened to the bagel and the lox and the cream cheese?" So she said, "But we've had it." She said, "We've had it already, and it was very good. And it was full of Israel. It was very good indeed. Now, I enjoyed it very much." How much enjoyment did he get out of it? He didn't get anything. Went into his tummy. It gives him the necessary vitamins, minerals, proteins, carbohydrates, whatever is given to him, gives him everything, but he hasn't enjoyed it. When he made the brocha over it, he made the brocha over his bread, did it very perfunctorily. Now he's made the brocha over the bread, now he can eat, he's made the brocha, he's eaten, puts away, takes up his newspaper, and he's munching and crunching, and he's eating, and he's reading. What does he get out of it? Take the person, makes his brocha, prepares to sit down at the table. Over everything he eats, he knows, created by Hashem, created for him. Look at the joy he gets out of it, and the other one gets no joy out of anything out of it. There is already an attachment to Hashem. I think I told you, time ago, it must have been 2 years ago, I woke up in the middle of the night once, and I was terribly thirsty. I had to get something to drink. So I thought, no, I've got to be careful. Got out of bed, put on my slippers, got my gown, went into the bathroom, washed myself a bit, went into the kitchen, did my negavasa, got the water, and I'm in control of myself, and I'm disciplining myself. And I'm sitting down, because it's wrong to make a brocha standing up. I'm sitting down, and I make the brocha. Well, a glass of water has never tasted like that before and never since. I was so conscious of everything. What water is. How I felt, how I enjoyed that water. That is already a striving in one small area to do it properly. That's the way it's got to be done. And what it brings with it, the joy that it gives with it, joy in God's creation, what it means. The din is that when one eats, the table is the same as a mizbeach. Do you know what went into the mizbeach? The cleaning of the mizbeach. How every time in the morning when they were ready to bring the sacrifice, the first sacrifice, that the mizbeach was absolutely clean. Everything was taken away, the ashes, everything taken away. Absolutely clean. That is a table. So when one eats, I know a difficulty to do it in California. A tablecloth on table, serviette, plates, crockery, cutlery. The better it is, the more we are fulfilling God's will. He is giving us food. How do we receive that food? If it is a beautiful, beautiful crockery, beautiful flatware, beautiful cutlery, it's different things. The way it is served, the way it is dished out, the way it is presented, the way it is given. One experiences something quite different. And that is the way it is supposed to be served. I know how difficult it is in California, where the standard of living is so terribly low, and it's accepted as that. Very difficult. I know how difficult it is of washing up at all these things. All right, so we're in a different situation. But it is one thing living and thinking that that is the ideal, to living and knowing that that is not the ideal. It's a very big step when you know that it's not the ideal. When you are doing things and it's the best you can do, it's one thing thinking, now that is just the ideal. And doing the best you can do and knowing it's by no means the ideal, the best I can do, but it's by no means the ideal. We've got to decide which is the greater, which is the greater deed, which is the greater experience. Some will say, it's better not to have the idea, not to know that it is better, it can be better, and the ideal is better than that you have or that what you are making of it. That is not Torah. Torah is to know the reality of it. I'm doing my best, but it is not the best. I've still got some way to go, I've still got a long way to go, I've still got a little way to go, but I know that. And that adds to the Nehenna Meitivan, that adds to the enjoyment of it. Don't forget, the greatest joy is the joy of experiencing reality. Example I gave you, a man does research. Don't just tell him, buries himself for years and years and years. But when he makes his discovery, he discovers the reality of it. No joy is greater than that. And now, to finish it all off, Hineli Sheyuva Metzizu in Yoni Mashuni Mo'eli Shel Shlemus Vichisomen Shel Zacharnu Vesimote Abriyo Shel Zacharnu Vatechuna Sheyitzicho Viyyos Peirush Bepshorus Vishreyo in Yoni Vichavnes Aleyem Shetikne Ashlemus Tesei Oder Minach Esrael. No? He says, and now, let us examine the world. If it is to be a world in which the possibility is given to the human being to be faced with good and evil, with true and false, with right and wrong, to be faced with that if it's necessary, in order that he can make his choice, in order that he can be in the battle, in order that he can be in the struggle, to acquire for himself his own goodness and his own perfection, in order that it should be like that, he says, "Veshivote lo emtsoim ledovar hazeh." Then the means to achieve that have to be found. Beirush, liknas the ashlemus, hinei bari sheproti rabim shen tzorik shimotu bavliyo, bichusim rabim eid aprovim eilo atri asliach atakvis al musub nazeh. To create a situation like that, then there must be good and evil, there must be right and wrong, there must be true and false. Because if there isn't that, there can't be the struggle. If we can only be good, we can't do anything wrong. If there's only good in the world and there's no evil in the world. If there's only happiness in the world and there's no misery in the world. If there's only truth in the world and there's no falsehood in the world. There's no struggle. So you see, there have to be all those conditions in the world in order to put us into a position where we are able to make this, take part in this great struggle. That, I think, is quite simple. And now the ulam, and yet Habriyo Asher his aritula inyan agolase, that creation, or that creature which is destined for this great experience, hainu lakbeikus veris morg shemek keshemes uchadnu, that is to be attached to the Almighty, as we have mentioned, he sikorei ho ikori shebechol Habriyo. This creature that is destined for that is the greatest of all the creation, of everything that Hashem has created, be it mineral, be it creature, be it here upon earth, be it elsewhere, whatever God has created, the height of it all is man. The kol she'or ma shehi motzei v'metzius lo yehyeh ele ozei v'ezi tzad v'ezi v'chino. Everything else that is in the creation is to be a support in some way or other, ela tachlis, to this purpose. Leshech yayit lach vehimotze v'chol kein ikoru tefeli v'avioi koshu. That is for that he should achieve this purpose of being the owner of his own goodness, of choosing and being the owner of his own goodness, reaching out to perfection and achieving whatever is possible for him with his potential to achieve. So everything in the world is there only for that purpose. Whatever there is in the world. Acha brio y koris bemes yamino enoshi. But what is the main object in the creation? That is the human being. The whole she'orani v'roim, and anything else that has been created, Bein Ashpolim, Bein Agvarim Imenu, whether it is that which is beneath him or that above him, whether it is the moon and the stars, the sun, Einom Elo Vavuras, everything is only because of him, Lash Lomet in Yono, that he should bring himself to perfection. According to all the opportunities that he has, and this I will still explain. And so man's intellect and all his good qualities, his propensities, they all are with regard to perfection. And through these, through his intellect, and through all his powers, his faculties, his attributes, he is able to acquire this perfection. And the material in man, the earthly in man, and the bad in man, the evil in man, the propensity for evil and the bad attributes, they are all hain in Yonayashi Sonjo Kharnu. That is belongs to the deficiency, as we have explained. Shall order Musum Bnehem, and man is put between all that that is wonderful in man, his intellect, his inherent goodness, his good qualities, his good attributes, on the one hand. And on the other hand, the material that is in man, the earthly that is in man, the evil that is in man, the evil impulses, the evil drives that is in man, the passions in man, all those, the man is put, the hinei she'odam musam b'neihem, man is put in between them, liknos lo hashleimus, in order that he should acquire for himself perfection. And now we are ready for the third chapter. And the third chapter is on the subject of man himself. But before we come to that third chapter, I want to discuss with you and give you a chance to sit back a little bit. It's not you, is it? Yes. Because you aren't here. Right. Yes.
I'm not sure if this is the first time to ask this question, but I don't know why it came in my mind now, but is the Torah eternal or was it created by Hashem?
It's a very good question.
I just don't know if it's the right time.
It's a very good question. I don't think it's going to help us to understand anything that we can say. God created the Torah which he gave to us. But we must realize that it's an expression of reality. So the reality was there, but the expression of that reality was given to us. Is that clear? It's like a person has got an idea. Mm-hmm. Einstein had the idea of relativity. A wonderful idea. So he writes it down. Now, the idea precedes the writing it down. So, in that sense, that the presentation of reality, that God created and gave to us. The presentation. But the reality is there. Am I making myself clear?
The reality was eternal.
That reality is eternal, yes. That the reality was there. But this is the presentation of that reality. Yes? Some of you want to ask anything.
But didn't Hashem create the reality?
No. Now that is something that we can't really, really grasp. He is perfect. Did he create that perfection? Did he create himself? That is eternal. There are two types of eternity. There is eternity that has no end, but it has a beginning. There is an eternity which has neither beginning nor end. We belong to the eternity that has no end, but we do not belong to the eternity that has no beginning. That is Hashem only. So there are two types of eternity. The eternity of Hashem is without beginning, without end. The eternity, other eternities are, they've got a beginning, but they've got no end.
the reality of the Torah is in the same classification as Hashem himself.
Hashem, that is the, that's the absolute. The absolute is nothing that can't be created. That is there. The manifestations of that absolute, and you'll speak about it later, the way it comes to us. You follow? The way it has come down to us, that is, it's presented to us. So it comes down to us in a certain form. When we speak about goodness and perfection and justice, it's not absolute justice. It's just the way we have got it and we are able to absorb it. But it is connected with it, as the example he gave, the leaf that is on the twig, that comes from the branch, that is attached to the bough, that grows out of the trunk, that gets everything from the root. Now I make myself a little bit clearer. Now I want to speak to you about one particular aspect that is mentioned here. He says that man is the very height of creation. Everything that went before was only to bring to that stage where God can create man. Now, that is Torah. It is something that is quite different from the way you've been brought up. Today, a young man came to see me, highly intelligent, very educated, has got a couple of postgraduate degrees, has never seen the inside of a Bible in any language. When I spoke to him about the first chapter in Genesis of the Bible, had no idea of what it was. Never heard of it. Now, that is the way. This is highly intelligent, cultured, educated, very fine person. Pleasure to speak to him on any subject. The ability to analyze. No idea at all. Now, here we are, brought up in the world today without any knowledge of it. Not only without any knowledge of it, there is inculcated to us certain ideas, and then we are indoctrinated with them. And we believe that this is truth. And this is science. For example, the idea, how did man come into existence? He started off from, well, he really comes from an ape, or a kind of ape, but certainly wasn't a man, wasn't a human being. And he went on all fours. And eventually he got up and he walked on two legs, but not all the time. Something like the bear, but he's able to do it. And then he developed still further, was able to use his hands, and so developed still further, until there was the sophisticated being which is man today and lives in the Silicon Valley. That is what we have been taught and what we've been trained to believe, that has been inculcated into us, indoctrinated. Can't be anything else. And this young man today asked me whether I accept it. I said, no, I don't accept it. But not because of religion. I cannot accept it intellectually. Quite a different thing. But before we come to that, we've got to realize something else. And that is that the Torah is not a book of science. But there is nothing that will be in the Torah that isn't true. That is impossible. Because it's Torah min ha-shamayim. Nothing in the Torah can be false. The only thing is, the Torah will present it in such a way that people of all ages, I don't mean individuals of all ages, but I mean people of all periods of history, whether it is from the time man was created until now, whether it is a highly sophisticated man or it is a very simple man, whether it is an adult or whether it is a child, But the Torah is written in such a way that each one can understand it and can understand it according to himself, according to his own ability. That is one of the great things about the Torah. So it is interesting how the Torah is written. And I say to this person, I would have no difficulty in interpreting the first chapter of Genesis in accordance with science, excepting for a couple of variations, but which are absolutely fundamental. But let us get down to it. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So the heavens were there and the earth was there. What is exactly meant by the heavens, we don't quite know. And then it says that God created life. And God divided between the day and the night. And so we have day and night. Now when the astronauts went up the first time, and they went out of the atmosphere, they didn't have day and night. They could see the sun, but, I forget the technical term for it, of the light, there has to be. But there was no division between light and darkness. So they were in darkness, but they could see the sun. It is only when there is atmosphere that there is a difference between light and darkness, that the sun in the atmosphere gives light, and in the absence of the sun there is darkness. So that is what happened in the first day. And it was one day. But don't forget, the sun and the moon weren't created yet. They were created only on the fourth day. And it says it was one day. So we don't know exactly what one day means. Now I'm giving you not my own interpretation, but I'm giving you an interpretation that could be. To a scientist, this is the interpretation I give him. When he tells me science, and when you assign his truth and religion is not real and all that, I take it to him and I show him that even according to him it goes. The next thing that was created, God, the whole earth was covered with water. So what did they do? What did God do? Now on the second day, he says, let the waters be collected to one place, and the earth, dry earth, to be seen. That is exactly in accordance with science. Science says that there was a time when everything was covered with water. And they find proof for it. For example, there is a part of South Africa that when we were children, we used to go there, we used to dig, and we used to find shells. It was a couple of hundred miles away from the sea. And yet we used to find shells there. Once upon a time there was water there, the sea there. No question about that. Everything is in order. What happens? On the second day there was creation of the heavens and the heavens above the water. I don't want to go into the detail of that because that has to be explained on its own. One day if you'll ask me to explain it to you, I will explain it to you. So here we've got earth, heaven, and now we've got the dry land. And then Hashem said on the third day, vegetation. So that's what begins from vegetation. After the vegetation, God created the sun and the moon. Now, when I went to school, it was inculcated into us and we were indoctrinated with that the earth spun off from the sun. So, the earth couldn't have been formed before the sun. So, she couldn't believe it. But today, scientists don't say that. Scientists have got a very great privilege that Torah people haven't got. Scientists can say things that are absolutely wrong and tell you it's the truth, and a little bit later they can say it's not like that, it's like this, and they don't have to apologize for what they said before. It's all science. Now it's altogether different. It's in medicine, they do it in everything. This is bad for you, but then they suddenly say it's good for you, And then again, it's bad for you. But it's quite no, I'm very serious, but you've got to realize that. So, it says, on the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon. Now, don't forget, the vegetation already exists. The fourth day, it waters, and then we have life, which takes place on land. And then we've got the creation of man. The order is the same. Of course, the great difference is that the scientist says this is all just happenstance. The giraffe has got a long neck. What business has he got to have a long neck? No other animal has got a long neck. But the giraffe lives in a place, found himself to be in a place where trees grow very tall, and the best leaves are at the top of the tree. So he had to grow a long neck to get to it. Took millions and millions of years. He gets to it. That is what they say. And the elephant needed besides having 4 feet, he needed something that he could work with. So he got his legs. Why his hands, his 2 4-feet, shouldn't have taken the place of hands and developed according to hands, just happened so. That's the way it is. But he exerted himself in that particular way, and that man, as the needs grew, so he developed the instruments to supply those needs. That is what they say. Now, first of all, he says, what we've got to say is Hashem was behind every change. And every change was a change, even if it came through evolution. But they reached a stage, I'm just saying, it's not my view. They reached a stage where that was, now we know. Now we are dealing with elephants. Now we are dealing with bears. Now we are dealing with a rhinoceros. Now we are dealing with hippopotami. Every move came about. Might have been evolution, not my views.
Yes, Julia.
Sorry. This is interesting to me. A few weeks ago, I took my daughter in for her checkup with a Jewish doctor who was not very religious. She startled. She went like this. And he says, Esther, he said, you know why she went like this? And I said, well, why did she do this? And he said, their ancestors who were monkeys, who were frightened, they would do this whenever there was danger, and they would grab onto their mother, and the mother would run away, and that's how they would survive. Therefore, she does this. I didn't know what to say. I said, that's very interesting. But I had no answer for him except to pretend to accept it, but I didn't accept it. I don't know how to
answer. Then they come and they learn, and then you can teach. But otherwise, you can't do it. But you see, if you give your child your finger, it will grasp your finger. It's true, you give a monkey your finger, it will also grasp your finger. That is how Hashem created, that everyone is dependent on its mother. A monkey is dependent on its mother. A child is dependent on its mother. Hashem created it. Immediately a child is born, the mother takes it, and it looks for the food, and it finds the food, and it starts sucking. How does it know? So, your doctor will say, because it comes from the monkey, that's the way the monkey does it. How did the monkey do it? Because he comes from another animal, that's the way he did it, you see. That's the way it is. But the first things they come from were protozoa, so they didn't do it. How did that all develop? So that is the way God created. When he created mammals, he created them that they are dependent on mothers. And the human beings also dependent on the mother. That is the answer to it. But let us go on from there. Yes, Barbara?
I remember looking at the book, and the poor man walking on other members' free hand. And he lands in the fire, and he doesn't grasp, and so forth and so on. Are these things, is that?
That is, they say that is evolution, yes.
But
we say that the opposite is taking place.
Right.
And that's very difficult to answer. One of my favorite animals, as far as their beauty is concerned, but not their nature, is the Siberian tiger.
Mm.
Now, he is a beautiful creature. His eyes are so beautiful. His face is so beautiful. The lines, the black and the yellow and the white, the black and the gold and the white, the incongruity of it. On each side of his head, you've got the congruous lines and shapes and curves exactly the same on both sides. Says the scientist, why is he made like that? Why is he like that? And a man says, but who wrote this essay? And another person said, I saw the most strange thing happen. A bird came in. There was a quill in the nympha. The purse, its invention is the, it used to be, necessity is the mother of invention. One needs into what he is able to create. That is how far he has gone. So, the Torah idea. The Torah idea is of the human being. By meaning where no she, and that is that. Thank you, ladies. You still have a few moments to ask us some questions. Concealed. That it's concealed. The truth and reality of the universe is concealed. We have to discover that should be good of you. That is something that's very unexpected, isn't it?
So it wasn't unexpected to ask.
Yes, I'm very good at this. This is a Ben Uziel. And this is Ben Uziel is a fictitious character. I just couldn't take this. The person who told me that this business in the early years of God has made, I know this, wanted to introduce a whole system, and that is why he gets them to believe. Now, I've got to be able to say to myself, yes, the reason he's doing so is because he doesn't want to subject himself to this discipline. So that's the way he gets out of it. So the one argument cancels out the other argument. But I've got the intelligence to do that. If I use that intelligence, then I'm already getting somewhere. So we've got the intelligence. Now, in intelligence, there are in intelligence itself, over the same area of human intelligence, there are parts. One of the parts of human intelligence is what we call Havchana. Havchana is something very, very important. I started off the shiur this evening by telling you how difficult it is to capture the world of spirituality when you're living in a secularist world. And I gave you the example of fear of God and how difficult it is. I'm going to give you another example. The servant be able to differentiate. We are living in a country, California, that people don't want to differentiate. Everybody is the same. Everybody is the same. Have you ever heard that? He's a human being. He's exactly the same. He's got his rights. Everybody is the same. That comes into direct conflict with the Kabbalah. Everybody is not the same. There are new people and there are considerate people. They're not the same. They're completely different. Everybody must be treated the same. Not at all. I'm not prepared to treat everybody the same. I'm not prepared to treat a mean brute the same as I would treat a highly refined and cultured person. I'm not going to treat them the same. I don't want to treat them the same. So there is the whole question of discernment. When we have seen certain brokers and we begin the service, the first broker that we make is we bless Hashem who has given the cock the intelligence. That's the word that is used. That is not the correct word. The real meaning is we've given him the power of discernment to discern between day and night. Lahakhin the limit and layla, to make the distinction between day and night. That is the very first blessing that we make. And the idea is, the cook can make a distinction between day and night. He's got it built into him. He makes a better thing to us. The only difference is that ours is there potentially to develop and to actualize, and the cock is there actually there. Because whatever an animal got has got, he hasn't got it potentially, but he's got it actually. That it is who that he's got it. We are given the opportunity to develop. And I tell you, I went to test this out once when I was very small, whether the cock really knows when it's done enough. So when I was out in the farm, I didn't sleep very much. And as soon as I heard the cock crowing, I ran outside. While everything was dark, couldn't see any sign of daylight. Nothing. I waited 10 minutes, and in 3 moments appeared. Then the cock couldn't have seen that. Just completely. And there's a difference between day and night, and he knows it. That is the idea of our day on Saturday night. Amadi then told his lechel to make a distinction between that which is sacred and that is profane. But California doesn't want that. There's nothing sacred. It's all relative. See how difficult it is to live in this society. Is it any wonder that there are so few Hebrew Jews in the whole of California? I'm told that in Oregon there are stickers, and that in Nevada they don't exist. Is it surprising? Look over there. To be able to tell the difference, they're only a host between light and darkness. And he's all alone between Jew and Gentile. Know the difference. But you're living in a Jewish society where the Jewish society says that there is no difference. Cook says the difference. They very much need a social shimmy between the 7th day and the 6th days. But the Jews say there is no difference. What's the difference? That is the society in which we, and that is what makes us different. Now I told you, I was going to end on the note on which I began. How difficult it is in a society where everything is against the Torah, there's a conflict of the text. Now, it comes into the Torah world itself. Normally, we divide the Jewish world, the Torah person divides the Jewish world into three parts. it consists of tzaddikim, righteous people. It consists of the shame, wicked people. And it consists of Benjamin, many of the errant people. That's the three categories into which the world is divided. Well, the tzaddik is the person that doesn't do right. The rosho is the person that doesn't do good, doesn't do right. What is the Benjamin? That is the middle of the realm. That is the middle of the realm person. The middle of the realm person is, you know, the roof. I don't have people taking notes when I speak, because I think we miss too much.
I don't.
But you are the exception to the rule, and I've tested you out. So I don't say anything to you. You are really the exception to the rule. Right, now, what is the basis? Now, who are they? We are middle of the road people. You say, I can't speak for you, you know you said it. I'm a middle of the road person. Now, the problem is me, I'm a middle of the road person. I said, you know, that is exciting. I wish I could be that. I love my friend. The answer is, they are right. I try and go the right way. There are times when I fail. There are things I don't do which I should do. I'm just not up to that step. Just not up to that step. That is the danger. Perfect limit. The energy of that. Today, I told you that the Torah word of today is quite different from the Torah word of what it was. And what I'm so concerned about is that there is a complete distortion today. A complete distortion. In the Orthodox world, there's a complete distortion. And I'm very concerned about it. Today, in Orthodoxy, there is a centrist movement. What is the centrist movement? The middle of the way, that is the ideal. We don't want to study. We don't believe in that. We want the middle of the way, that is the ideal. So we see the difference. That is what is happening. This has become a shoot. This is now a movement, middle of the way. That is away from the Torah. We've never had that. This is something new in the Torah. Yes, there is.
I think that I'm maybe all wrong, but I see the rest of the non-Orthodox Jewish, whatever that means, where I'm seeing the Orthodox world as the only hope, whether they believe or they don't believe. They always say Orthodoxy as the best Orthodox thing that will be my future for Judaism. So, as I'm in both worlds in some ways. I find this very, very depressing for that world.
For which world? For the Orthodox world?
Yeah. For both worlds, sure. Yeah. But what I'm saying, I find that very, very depressing for those who are not yet so agree.
Yeah, you know, the long term with Jesus, some glorious times. There are those who don't find it depressing that are not only Jews, and those who do find it depressing. Which is the better one? So, you're in a very good company, yeah? Of course it's like that. There are people who don't, there's a movement, that distinction between contentment and happiness. Which is contented. The, I don't know what the answer of animals like. It's quite content. We go grumbling in the jet and it's quite content. It is not happening. But he doesn't know the difference. That's very powerful. He can't help him. He never become any better. But the human being that is deficient. the human being is very popular concept that is discovered. But he's not been satisfied with himself. No, that means he's been happiness. So, please, don't be depressed about your depression. But whatever you do, don't lose it. That's the way it works. Now, I told you, this is something new that is returning them to birth. That's going on. The centrist position has become the Shittata. This is modern orthodoxy, and this is the Shittata. This is the centrist position. So it's clicked into orthodoxy itself, and this is the fifth column, this is the Trojan horse in orthodoxy. That's going to break it down. Just let me finish. Yeah. I gave the example in this. And there was a mirror at the place. I didn't know who the mirror was. He didn't know where I was. He might have heard about me. Anyway, we come to the place and I'm the son of the man. And he says to me, now, as soon as the baby comes in and we put him on a tea station at the Yerku, then I tell any person that they must close their eyes and I see a genie. And they will see a yellow. I said to him, "Yep, that's your cruelty. Mysticism is bad enough, but this is even greater than the college world. What's all this about?" But that wasn't the end of the story. Afterwards, somebody came to me. And he said, there was something wrong with this place. He said, what was wrong with it? He said, he didn't tell us to close our eyes. And we couldn't see a kid, and we see a young. I think this man said, are you a PhD? He said, yes. I said, can you explain to me how is it that there are so many unintelligent PhDs in California? Well, does this make sense to you? You really believe that you say you. And he tried to write from it. Not only to please, I don't like dealing with unintelligent people, even if they've got a PhD. But you see what it's coming to. This isn't error. This is the problem that we are up against. A distortion of terror within the terror world. And this is what makes it so difficult. That the purpose of the field is to explain to you that yes, Yerushalayim is something which Hashem deprived us of, so that there should be complete predetermination of them. But how do you say Yerushalayim? So that the person is got intelligence, and in the end of intelligence, there is a small area which is Hakkanan, Hakkanan, to be able to make a distinction, differentiate. This is profane and this is sacred. This is true and this is false. This is right and this is wrong. This is reality and this is an illusion. Very difficult. That the person has got that capacity. If he can do that, then begins the development of the Russian. But not until then. There's only one more thing I want to say to you today, so that you continue to share. Sure, you want to ask something?
I want to talk to you about the census to you.
Yes.
When a person decides not to do a certain mitzvah, is that part of that view of that not wanting to strive to be true?
Yeah, it depends. Yeah. It depends how it develops. A person can have that and say, look, this is too much for me, I can't do it. If it is a case that you say, I'm not ready for it, that's fine. That's perfectly legitimate. I'm not ready for it. I would rather a person go and stand by cliff than he goes, he takes the non-stop lift up to the 103rd floor. And if he forgets that he started from the ground floor, he walks off the roof, then he thinks he's on the ground floor, he falls down, and that's the rhythm of hell. Because I'd much rather think that he did the wrong way, he didn't have to think step by step, floor by floor. Much rather. That's a different matter. Yes, Elizabeth?
Excuse me. I don't see the difference between the I think it's very much different than the use of the thing, but the same could be very differentiation. But then what's the difference between that specific discernment, between what's right and what's wrong, and the use of the
faith? I have a better question here. I'm sure you got it in your own mind, but I haven't got it.
I understand that the discernment is about the ability to differentiate. What's the difference between that and the good information?
The good information?
Yes. What's the difference between the two?
The difference between the faculty of discernment, the ability to discern, and the Yetzer HaTov. You see, the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa are absolutely different. Didn't we discuss that last week? That the Yetzer HaTov and the Yetzer HaRa are absolutely different. So good. And it's got to be like that. Because Hashem said, and I give you this day, good and evil. Now, if I say to you, I want to give you a gift. Which would you rather have? Would you rather, which one? this is very important in California, because otherwise you're going to eat your hands. Which would be better? It's different to what? This is a choice at all. So if I should have said, I give you good and evil. I give you good and evil. Truth and untruth. I give you blessing. And night and day, and you decide. It's got to be a choice of very much energy. It makes the evil so attractive that it's so easy to distort it that it is good. It's so easy. You can put a very good case. You can put a very good case for wrong, and put a very good case for evil. So nice. A man once came to me and said, you don't know what life is. I said, well, you mean, why do you say, you don't know how to enjoy yourself. I said, I'm feeling happy that I'm enjoying myself tremendously. So he said, well, this is. And he goes in those days in the hemisphere, you know, kosher restaurants, you can't go to the restaurant and have a meal. Yeah, so can't have a meal. He says, you don't know what it is. You should join our circle. I said, what is your circle? He said, well, you've got a circle of men and women. They're nice to with other women, and they come to our women. I said, but that's being unfaithful. She said, not at all. You've got that arrangement with our wives, that's what you want. It's called by consent. It's not an unfaithful unit. Then we put that very vulnerable custom. That's wrong with that. You enjoy yourself. That's wrong with enjoying yourself. The tell them. Of course they want you to enjoy yourself. All right. You didn't persuade me. Why didn't he persuade me? I tried to see what's going to be the result of all this. I know the man, I can actually guess. With an old man, that what a mess. There's a lot of wife there, there's a children in there, what a mess. He's got no relation to the reality. He divorced a long time, nothing at all. He's an absolute mess. But I had to make up my mind.
Because
the Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer HaRa are absolutely use my intelligence, not the Yetzer HaTov. Because the Yetzer HaRa is stronger. I have to use my intelligence for that. Make a difference. What is going to be returned upon this? I mean, I know you can discuss the great thing in prayer, but that time I can really overcome that, so that's so to say. But death, you've got to test against the purpose of that. When you've made up your mind, then you go to what comes into action. Then it comes into action. But the way that I think at least gives me an equal chance. Now that's what it does. You tell what I'm saying.
I have to go to the answer. I'm sorry for taking this time. I'm very uncomfortable with and maybe that is a very idiotic concept that I haven't come out of yet. But when you said it's hard, it's something inside me. It's like, you know what the answer is. You know what the answer is.
Yes, but do you follow the answer? Or do you give me the example? The example is mine. I'll give you an example. The man who smokes. Two packets in that. Then now he comes to be an equal choice. But you know from that, he just turns around and he's American. Do you know? What do you think he says to himself? Let's see, I'm not going to smoke anymore. Gets up in the morning, doesn't smoke. Has his breakfast after breakfast. I don't want one cigarette. One cigarette won't do me anymore. Yeah, what is happening here? Doesn't he know? Even if it's in him, doesn't he tell him that this is wrong? And he takes it, and he's smoking already, he's smoking 3 seconds a day. And that night he's got it again. Why did he smoke? He said, I suppose we were going wrong. He's a tool of doctrine. So he christened this curse the truth to suit himself. This is the problem, yes. Are you going to wait for that paper? Study there. Basic 2 8 4 is intelligence and the power of the soul. You know, I'm not getting confused. I would please excuse me, give an example in which I've come into it. But there was a man, shortly after I arrived here, who asked me a child. Now, I don't know the people, you see. Now, if you ask me, I can look at it. You must go to your rabbi, Master. That's how I'm telling the answer. So then he met somebody from the community, from my community office, and said, what kind of a rabbi have you got? I asked him, I say, and say. And he said, it is cryptic, you know, right, what we can do. Who is that? I say, and say, what kind of rabbi? So this person said to him, you know, how can you compare? He said, what's the difference? This is a rabbi, this is a rabbi. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? No distinction. That's what it is, that's what we have to do. But if everything is like that, God will be able to have that in the power of his community. Next week, no share. This has been a better share. Yes, of course. 1.5 hours.
My watch.
She was having sequels of now. Another share next week. We have a better share tonight.
No.
If you can afford to say you did that if you last week, so you want to make up.
No.
You were going to win there last week. This is all part of our celebrations.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
All right, now we're going to do the traditional pushing. Now, if anybody's dilated, or he's dazed, he's going to push, it's the same. All right? What are the babies here? All right, okay. We're all going to have that baby together now, and I will command you to breathe. Contraction, beginning, focal point, two pins in breath. So out and in. Out. In, elbows out, chin down, push forward, count, cross the count. One, two, three. Elbows out, not chin, not shoulders out. Elbows out. Okay, catch breath to the side, and breathe in and push. Okay, catch breath to the side and contraction over. And you see how hard that is. Very hard. Very hard.
Not inside the hospital, by the way, because you've been already arranged to be on the foot line. I used to feel so strongly that as I go along and more teach it more, I teach less of the traditional. I wanted to be in more of it. I wanted to put it aside not too much because I just don't want it that much. We didn't want to practice it because we need it. We have to be able to do it. We tell it that effective pushing is very important. I have not always guided in the hospital with effective pushing. It is very, I have seen it and I have had it reported from my students that the ladies need to be guided and many nurses just say, well, go ahead and push now. It is not safe when they went, you know, in some particular hotel and put them in. But I've seen it.